And actually, that kind of circles back to one other thing I wanted to ask you about. We were talking before about bevacizumab and the timing of surgery. I guess in terms of the issue of timing of surgery, you have A, the issue of wound healing, bowel perforation, but the other thing that was brought up in that editorial is the question of hepatic generation in patients who are having ablation and surgery in the liver. What do we know about hepatic regeneration and bevacizumab?
I don't think we know very much at all. And I think part of the reason is that by and large, people are off the drug for at least 6 weeks and typically 8 weeks. And at least in our practice, if you've had hepatic surgery, you're waiting a full 4, 6, 8 weeks. I mean, part of that is just clinical, get back on your feet after a hepatic resection. It's always been my sort of understanding that by 4 weeks post-resection, you've reestablished about 95% of the hypertrophy you're going to see for the liver. So after 4 weeks, I think most people would be reasonably comfortable saying, even if you did give bevacizumab, you're not going to be impacting on hepatic regeneration on the back end if you elect to go back to that therapy. How much bevacizumab could be impeding hepatic regeneration because it's hanging around in a low level as people are going to the OR, I don't think we really know. The other important issue, Neil, is that we are starting to recognize there are differences in what irinotecan and what oxaliplatin do to a liver that's going to undergo hepatic resection. Eddie Abdallah in our group, one of our other hepatic surgeons, is doing a great job, has started to look pathologically at normal liver that's been exposed to irinotecan, fluoropyrimidine versus oxaliplatin. Oxaliplatin seems to lead to more of a vascular type injury. Fluoropyrimidine with irinotecan seems to be more of a steatosis. Now, neither of these injuries has had any impact on perioperative complications or on survival. I mean, we haven't seen people having hepatic failure after hepatic resection. But it is interesting that I think clinicians need to recognize there are differences in terms of what these drugs are doing to the liver. It's not necessarily going to change management, but I think clinicians are going to hear about this more moving forward. We are starting to see patients with steatosis. Their liver function studies are often reasonably perturbed with the use of these drugs and after hepatic resection, and this is going to be an area that we need to be cognizant of. The other issue I think we're going to confront is, Americans are, as a group, a fairly unhealthy group of people. This concept of NASH, non-alcoholic steatosis and hepatitis, is a real phenomenon, and people have livers that are not particularly as healthy because of obesity issues, et cetera. How much of a rampant public health problem this is, I'm not certain, but a high body mass index does predict for those kinds of things. And it is something that I know hepatic surgeons are very aware of. And as we give people more, quote unquote, neoadjuvant therapy prior to hepatic resection, it's something I think we're all going to have to become a little more of a hepatologist.